Welcome to the Every Nation Taipei podcast. We're here to help you know God, discover your purpose, grow in your relationships, and make a difference in Taipei, Taiwan, and beyond. We hope this message encourages you today.
And we're on the series called The Sweet Life. And that's what the sweet life is, sharing life with one another. And oftentimes that comes in the form of gifts. I just survived the week of gifts. It was my wife's birthday last Sunday. And so you know how that goes when your wife, it's her birthday. It's just like there's parties and there's meals and there's flowers. Our house apartment was filled with flowers. And it seems like we've been eating out every meal this week, breakfast, lunch, dinner. So much for trying to lose weight. It's just like, forget about it. But we survived. And you know, some gifts are better than others, right? You love some gifts. Sometimes like when we eat out, the first few meals are like amazing. And then the next few are kind of like enjoyable. And then the last few are like endurance. You know, it's like, okay, we got another one. We can do it. For all of those of you who we had meals with, yours was amazing. but you know, as much as it's exciting to get a gift, there's a certain pain that comes when you lose a gift. Those of you who've been around for a while, you know, I have these earbuds that people give me to listen to, like my phone and my, you know, anyway. So I have these earbuds and I have a habit of losing them. So I had three sets of earbuds and each one of them was missing one earbud. And one of them I lost, like the day I got it, that day I lost one of them. So I just have like a bad habit of losing these earbuds. But then about a couple of months ago, they all showed up. I found them like under in a closet, you know, under bed. And I had three complete sets, which was amazing for a season. And then day before yesterday, I was getting into the elevator. And I reached in to get, you know, they have the little fob that you do the elevator thing. And I pulled it out and one of the cases of my earphones, it popped out with earphones in it. And I saw it slow motion, sort of sliding across the floor of the elevator towards the gap between the elevator and I thought, it's not gonna go down there. It won't fit. Shoop, down a bit. Yeah, exactly. It was just like a sadness, a sense of loss and grief and anger. Like who made that thing that distance? You know, why did they do that? And why didn't I zip my bag up? And how did I not grab that thing before it goes? You're mad at yourself, the elevator makers, you know, God, just kind of everything, right? And there's those moments. It's so easy for us to lose our joy over simple things. And today we're going to be talking about that we're in this Sweet Life series, one of the fruits of the Spirit, which is called peace, and how easy it is for us to lose our peace, that sense that everything is okay. And so our theme scripture is Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. It says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. And so when we look at this list of what we call the fruit of the Spirit, these are the lives that God intends us to live. And when we have God inside of us, this is what's supposed to be the evidence of God inside of us, is that we're loving, that we have joy, that we have peace. And the more that we become like Christ, the more that these characteristics should be evident in us. And so we've covered love and joy, and today we're covering peace. What does it mean to have peace? What does peace look like? And so, quick overview of our message. I think I have a quick overview. Do I have peace? What is peace? Where do I find peace? And how do I get peace? I grew up in the 60s and the 70s, born in 1960, and peace was a big word back then. You know, peace symbol, peace. Everybody, you meet people at peace. Peace out when you leave, it's peace out. When you greet, it's peace. Kind of like Hawaii, we say aloha. You know, but back in the day, it was peace. Peace, brother. Peace, you know. If someone wants to fight you, peace, you know. Everything's okay, peace. We agreement, peace. And so it gets this diluted meaning. It doesn't mean just I agree, hello, goodbye, the way we used to use peace. There's actually a meaning for peace in the Bible. So we're going to look at, what does that mean? Where do I find it? How do I get peace? And the scriptures for today's message are from John chapter 14. We just read this, I think, this past week. It says, I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. So this is Jesus talking to his disciples and speaking to us. He says, I'm leaving you with a gift, the gift of peace. Peace of mind and peace of heart. Peace different from the way the world counts peace. So don't be troubled or afraid. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for your gift of peace. Father, I pray that you would help us to understand the kind of peace that you've given us. And Lord, to learn how to receive this gift, how to see it apply in our lives, that we would be peacemakers, we would be people of peace, that wherever we go, Lord God, we would carry peace with us, and that we would be able to bring peace to the people and the circumstances that we encounter every day, so that we would be a reflection of you, you who are the Prince of Peace. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So we're talking about peace today as a gift from God. I'm going to read a couple more scriptures, John chapter 14, verses 27, and then John chapter 16, verse 33 says this, I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. So this is Jesus. John chapter 14 through John chapter 17, Jesus' last lessons to his disciples. So some of the most important things that Jesus wanted to speak to his followers, which includes you and I, those of us who've chosen to follow Jesus, who desire to be like him. And he said, I've told you all these things, everything that I've told you about life, about God, about what it means to be a follower of me, about what's about to come, about my coming death and my resurrection. He said, I've told you these things so that you can have peace. Because in this world, you'll have trials and sorrows. And that's just a part of living in this sin-broken world. We'll have trials. We'll have sorrows. Anybody here got troubles? All God's people got troubles. And even after we become Christians, we walk through times of sorrows. But when God talks about peace, he's not talking about the absence of trouble. He's not talking about the absence of grief. He's not talking about the absence of pain or disappointment in our lives. But what he is talking about is this sense. In the Greek, they use this word shalom. I'm sorry, in the Hebrew. And this sense of peace, shalom, means nothing's missing, nothing's broken, everything is as it should be. Even if it's in process, even if you're in process, so maybe it's not complete, but it's still everything is as it should be in this stage of the process. And it's that sense that God has everything under control and that everything is going to work out, even if it doesn't look like it now. And that's the peace of God, that even when we walk through times of trouble, times of sorrow, times of difficulty, there's this sense, this knowledge, this assurance in our hearts that God is going to work everything out. And so today we're going to talk about what does that peace look like and how do we get a hold of that in our lives so that we can walk with this kind of peace, so that we're not always living in a place of insecurity, place of anger, disappointment, frustration, sorrow. But when we walk through troubling circumstances, God is with us. So what is peace? Well, there's three kinds of peace, right? So when the Bible talks about peace, it's referring to three different kinds of peace. The first peace is this peace with God. It's what we call a spiritual peace. And it's having peace with the one who made us. It's having an eternal peace, a peace that we know our eternity is secure. That if we were to die today, everything's taken care of. We know that we're going to spend the rest of eternity in an amazing place with God. And so we have this spiritual peace. We know that God is pleased with the life that we're living. We know that where we are is right in the center of where he wants us. This is spiritual peace. It's the way that Jesus lived. Jesus said, wherever I go, I only go where the Father wants me to go. I do what he tells me to do. I say what he wants me to say. So in every moment, I know I'm right in the center of where God wants me. And that's how Jesus could love his enemies. That's how he could have peace in the midst of a storm. That's how Jesus, when people were attacking him and accusing him, he could just be silent because he knew he was exactly where God wanted him. So even when one of his good friends, Lazarus, died, and he could have gone over there and brought healing, he waited till Lazarus had died. Because he knew the Father wanted him to go later and raise him from the dead. Which is amazing to me. I certainly don't walk in that kind of a relationship with God. But it is the kind of relationship that God invites us into. And we're all in some way along that journey of relationship with God, drawing closer to him. Because the closer we get to God, the more that we have peace. Because the truth is that peace is, it's not a place, it's not a condition. Peace is a person. We're going to find out today that we find peace in Jesus, who is the Prince of Peace. And the peace that we have in our hearts, the peace that we have in our lives, is tied to our relationship with Christ. And so we're going to break that down, what it means to have peace in the midst of difficult times. And as we walk through this past year, it's been like a rough year for everybody, with COVID and all the ups and downs. And I can remember in New York when COVID first hit, I loved the first couple of months that we were thinking, you know, we're good, and God must love us because nobody in my church got COVID. And, you know, our nurses are talking about how people are getting COVID left and right, and hospitals are full, and people are dying. And we're like, you know, God loves us. He's going to protect us. Nobody's sick. Nobody got COVID. Then one of our nurses got COVID and died. And then more and more people started getting COVID. And we realized that, you know, we're going to walk through difficult, troubling times. But even in the midst of that, in the midst of those times, as the church rallied together, we found peace. We found strength. And even in those who got sick and those who died, there was a testimony to God. And families gathering together found peace. This is what God does in our lives. This is the kind of peace that we as a church need to walk in. The kind of peace that helps people when they're walking through difficult times. Anybody can feel peaceful when everything's going well. But it's having peace when everything's coming apart. That's the kind of peace that God brings into our lives. Some of us, we have a hard time keeping peace even when things are going well. But God wants us to have peace in every situation. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says this: "Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done with us." So God, through Jesus' death on the cross for us and our receiving of him, God brings us into a place of peace in our relationship with him. And it's a kind of peace that assures us that our eternity is secure. And that's a peace, when you know that your eternity is secure, then like Paul, he would say, do your worst. For me to die is just to means I'm going to be with God sooner. And to live here on earth just means I'm going to be able to walk with Christ here on earth and see what he can do through me on earth. So live or die, I'm at peace because my relationship with God is good. And that's the kind of peace that God invites us into, and that kind of peace that only comes through Christ because of what he's done for us. The second type of peace is emotional peace. And that's a peace inside of ourselves. It's an internal peace. So we have eternal peace, spiritual peace with God. We have internal peace, which is emotional peace within ourselves. The scripture says this in Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. "Let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace. Always be thankful." So let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. That inside, in our emotions, in our thoughts, there's peace. And that's a peace that you can't even buy. I've seen so many people who their lives seem so successful, and they seem so well off, and it seems like they have everything they need, and yet on the inside they're dying. On the inside there's so much frustration that they just they want to just drown out that sorrow, that disappointment, that insecurity, whether it's with drugs or alcohols or other addictions or habit, destructive habits that we just try to hide over. For some, we even use religion to try to cover over the pain that's inside of us, the holes in our heart. See, we're all born with a place in our heart that God is supposed to fill. But without God in that place, then that hole is always there, and we're always trying to fill it with something else. But it's a God-shaped hole, and only God can fill that hole in our hearts. And so our emotions are subject to every circumstance. Our emotions are subject to all kinds of change and every insecurity and every disappointment and every time something bad happens in our life, anytime a trial or trouble comes, our emotions take a dive. Our hearts take a dive. Why? Because we don't have Christ in that place. He's the one that holds us steady in the midst of the tough times. This is that internal or self emotional peace. The third kind of peace that the Bible talks about is relational peace. James chapter 3, verse 18. Scripture says, "And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness." See, God calls us to actually be peacemakers. So in that sense, we're created to be in the image of God. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He's the one, through his actions, we have peace with God. But now God calls us to bring peace into the circumstances around us, into the world around us. And this peace, becoming peacemakers, it says, those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace. And out of those seeds of peace, then comes a harvest of righteousness or right living. We help others, not just ourselves, but others live right. And this harvest of right living makes our lives attractive to others. The harvest of right living is really the fruit of the Spirit. All of a sudden, we're people who live with joy. We're people who live with love. We're people who live with peace, forgiveness, gentleness, kindness. And people around us are attracted to that. Why? Because that's the sweet life. That's the fruit of the Spirit. And the Bible says we can have a part of that by being those who plant seeds of peace. That's how we become peacemakers. From Genesis 1, where we were created in the image of God, we now are walking through this life to have that image restored in us, that image that was damaged and stolen by sin. Through Jesus' death on the cross, he now offers us a way for that image to be formed in us anew, to be like him. And James, in the verse before this, he tells us, what are some of these seeds of peace that we can plant? James chapter 3, verse 17. He says, "But the wisdom from above is first of all." James equates wisdom and peace. Those who live wise lives are those who live peaceful-filled lives. It says, first of all, it's pure. There's a purity. There's an honesty. There's an integrity in our lives. We don't live double lives. And peace does that in our lives. And as we live that way, we start to sow peace in other people's lives. Why? Because then they can trust what we say. They can trust who we are. And if you've ever worked for a boss who doesn't have integrity, you understand the turmoil that causes in a work team, in a workspace. If you've ever been in a country led by a leader with a lack of integrity, it just begins to destroy that company from the inside out. Any organization. And so planting seeds of peace, one of the seeds of peace is this purity, this integrity, this honesty in our lives. It is also peace-loving. In other words, it pursues peace. It doesn't look for reasons to stir things up. It's not looking for a fight. It's looking for peace. How do I cause things to be back on track with the way God intended? Peace is not just the absence of conflict. Peace is bringing things into right order. So sometimes peace requires a bit of conflict, but it's not seeking conflict. It's seeking the order that comes through the necessary conflict to bring order and bring things back into the way they should be. Gentle at all times, willing to yield to others. So this peace, the peacemakers are not people who are always selfish ambition, jealousy. I want everything for myself. I don't have to always have my own way. I don't always have to be right. I don't have to win every argument. Willing to yield to others. Jesus was okay with all the false accusations that came at him. Why? Because he was a peacemaker. And he knew that in order for us to truly find peace, he had to go to the cross. And so when the false accusations of sin were thrown at him, he was okay with it. Why? Because he's a peacemaker. It's full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. These are the marks of someone who's a peacemaker. Do we show mercy? Do we bear the fruit of good deeds? I love the scripture, Jeremiah 29, one of my favorite chapters in the Bible, that really applies to those of us who are, you know, living here as expats or internationals living here in Taiwan. Because God is talking to the Jews while they're in exile in Babylon, and he's saying, this is how you should act. He says, work for the peace and prosperity of the city where I sent you into exile. Now, we're not in exile here. It's pretty good being here in Taipei. But we are away from home. And so when you're away from home, pray to the Lord for it, for its welfare will determine your welfare. So we don't come to Taiwan to see what we can get out of Taiwan. We're not here to just bless our own lives. God says you need to be here to work for the peace and prosperity of the city, of this city, of this nation. We're so focused on our own prosperity and our definition of peace, lack of conflict. I want everything to be okay in my life. But God says, no, you need to work for his kind of peace, the shalom, where things are as God desires. So are things in Taipei as God desires? And are we actively working towards that? Are we working for that peace and prosperity? So that's what peace is. Where do we get peace? Well, there's wrong sources and there's right sources. So here's some of the wrong sources of peace. Number one is circumstances. We all think peace is going to be in a place and peace is going to be in an environment. And we're looking to change our environment in order to get peace. And we blame our environment for our lack of peace. But that's the wrong source of peace. If you need your environment to be right, to be perfect in order for you to have peace, guess what? Your circumstance is not going to stay the same for very long. And when that circumstance changes, your peace will be gone again. Circumstances change all the time. And if your peace is dependent upon perfect circumstances, you are going to live a life without much peace. Your peace cannot depend on a place. It can't depend on your calendar. Oh, my calendar is so full, I lack peace. My calendar is so empty, I lack peace. If you are dependent upon your calendar, your day planner for peace, you will never have peace. Because it's always either too full or too empty. I need more appointments. I need more. Oh, my friends aren't calling up. You know, I have no peace. If your peace is dependent on having the right plan in place, I don't know what I'm doing. I got no peace. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't have peace. These are all the wrong sources of peace because plans change all the time. Circumstances change all the time. Your pace of life and your calendar are going to change all the time. And if your life is dependent upon that, then you're going to live a life without much peace. If your peace depends on people, guess what? People change. People are just so not dependable. If your peace depends on other people, then you're going to be trying to control and manipulate people all around you to fit into your picture of the kind of people and the way they should act in order for you to have peace. And guess what? You cannot control the people around you. So your peace is going to be out of control. You're going to lack peace all the time if your peace depends on other people. When I get the right spouse, or if I could just get rid of the spouse I have. And that's not you and me, babe. No. Right, but it's just, yeah, if I had a different boss, if I had a different coworker, if I had a different neighbor, it's always the other person, the other circumstance. Or if your peace is just dependent upon your own self, your own knowledge, your own ability, your own resources. You can be the best Googler in the world, and all that knowledge will still not bring you peace. Peace doesn't come from a sufficiency of knowledge or a sufficiency of resources, or a sufficiency of abilities, or sufficiency of skills. No matter how skilled you get at everything, it will never bring you lasting peace. So these are all just wrong sources of peace. The right source of peace. John chapter 14, verse 27. Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let them be afraid." See, because Jesus is the source of peace, because Jesus can change your circumstances. So if you're in the midst of a storm, Jesus can rise up and still the storm. If you have a lack of resources, you got 5,000 people and no food, Jesus can provide the food you need. See, Jesus is ruler over the circumstances. But if we wait for the circumstances to change, then we miss peace. But if we focus on the source of peace, on Jesus, then he will bring us peace in the midst of every circumstance. Jesus changes people. Rather than waiting for people to change, we bring Jesus with us. And Jesus changes people like greedy, abusive people like Zacchaeus. Jesus changes them. Our own emotions, our own hearts. When our hearts are horrible and our hearts are controlled by sin. I was reading just today, in today's reading in John, where he's talking about how Mary Magdalene was the first one to see Jesus. Mary Magdalene, out of whom he cast seven demons. Her heart was controlled by demonic powers. Which, you've ever been around someone who's demon-possessed, that's a pretty ugly life. Jesus changed her from the inside out to where she was the first one to see Jesus, the risen Savior. God can change you. He can change your circumstances. We look at Peter, who failed Jesus horribly, abandoned him in his worst moment, and Jesus transformed him to where he would lay down his life for Jesus. So today, if you have someplace in your life where you're troubled, upset in your heart, if you have someplace where you're afraid, feeling insecure, Jesus wants to come into that place in your heart. He says, don't let your heart be troubled. He didn't say, I'm going to take away all your troubling circumstances. I'm going to take away everything that makes you sad or insecure or disappointed. He says, I can help you not let it get to your heart. Receive my peace. So how do we get this peace? Because in the end, that's what we need, right? How do I get this peace? Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 29. Then Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I'm humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. So let's break it down, because there's three keys here. Number one, come to Jesus. Then Jesus said, come to me. And that's simply just recognizing that you need Jesus in your life. It's recognizing that you have places in your life where you're weary, where you're carrying burdens that you don't need to be carrying, or that are weighing you down and tiring you out. We just have to have that moment of recognition to say, I need Jesus. I want to come to him. I want to turn towards him. Come to Jesus. If you don't come to Jesus, if you don't recognize your need for him, then you'll never have peace the way that God intended. You'll just walk through life without it. Jesus has all this peace that he wants to give you in the midst of our worst circumstances. The second thing he said is, yoke to Jesus. Take my yoke upon you. So what does this mean, yoke to Jesus? You know, I think nowadays when we talk about yoke, you know, it's like if you got lots of muscles on your, you know, and your is this your traps or whatever, you know, a huge, I'm yoked up. Again, I got all this muscle. I'm not yoked up. But I want to be yoked up to Jesus. Because yoked up means there's this old farming implement that would connect the ox or the carabao, if you're in the Philippines, to either another carabao or to whatever you're pulling, the cart you're pulling, so that your strength, the strength of that carabao, can be put into dragging that cart or that plow, or you can be teamed up with another carabao, another ox, so that you can combine your strengths. And they say that the strength of two oxen is multiplied more than rather than added when you yoke them together. And so with Jesus, when we're yoked up with him, we get into his harness and we take on his strength. But what does it require? What it really means is that we have to be obedient to him. Because the two oxen in the yoke, unless there's a lead ox and the other ox lines up with him and follows his lead, then they just work against each other. They have less strength than they would individually. And it's the same with Jesus. When we're yoked up with Jesus, guess who the lead dog is? If you thought Jesus, you're right. He's the one with the strength. He's the one with the wisdom. And so what does being yoked to Jesus mean? It means simply being obedient to him. Isaiah 48 verse 18 says this, "Oh, that you had listened to my commands. Then you would have had peace flowing like a gentle river and righteousness rolling over you like waves in the sea." When you find that it's hard to do what's right, when you find that your life is all in turmoil, you can know that I'm not yoked well to Jesus. Because if I'm yoked to Jesus, all of a sudden my life starts to hit a flow. All of a sudden, it's like waves in the sea. I don't know if you've ever been in big waves in the sea. You have no power when a big wave hits you. If you ever jump into a big river, you have no power in that river. And your best bet is to just ride that wave. Ride that river. And that's what Jesus wants to do. Come to Jesus. Yoke up to him. And number three, learn from Jesus. Matthew 11:29 says, "Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Jesus says, "Let me teach you." Why? Why do we let Jesus teach me? It's interesting. He says, "Because I'm humble and I'm gentle." He doesn't say, "Because I'm smart, because I'm powerful, because I'm in control." Jesus says, "You yoke up to me because I'm humble and I'm gentle." And why is it humble? Why is it humility and gentleness? It's because the two things that most often steal our peace. One is our pride, our arrogance. It's our pride that always makes us want to be right, have things done our way, have to be in control. It's our pride that leads to our insecurity, thinking that people might see through who we really are. And they won't like us if they see who I really am. And if people knew the mistakes that I make, then they wouldn't like me. They wouldn't want to be with me. And so we lose our peace. Our arrogance, our pride causes us to lose our peace. So Jesus said, "I'm humble. And if you come alongside me, you're going to learn to walk in humility." And suddenly, all the ways that arrogance destroys our peace are gone. And we find rest. He says, "I'm also gentle." And so often, it's aggression that steals our peace. I'm going to just make things happen. I'm just going to beat down people around me, circumstances, anybody who conflicts with me. I'm just going to take over. I'm going to force things to align with the way I want them to be. And this aggression, all of a sudden we see wounded bodies all around us. And we see wounds in our souls, but we just ignore them because we have this aggression inside of us. And suddenly we're living without peace. And so often we didn't need that aggression. But it's just this brokenness inside of us. Arrogance and aggression. Jesus says, "No, humility and gentleness will lead to your peace. This is what you're going to learn from me when you yoke yourself in me, that I have a different way." Isaiah 26:3 says, "You will keep him in perfect peace, all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you." It says we fix our eyes on Jesus. As we keep our ears attentive to what he wants, our hearts sensitive to what's going on with him. So we learn to feel and to hear Jesus. to have his ways formed inside of us. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7 says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Why does the Bible say whenever you're anxious, pray? Whenever you're worrying, pray. It's because through prayer that we talk with God and we start to hear his voice. As we get into the word and prayer, and especially sometimes as we pray with others, we begin to hear God's voice and to sense his heart. And then peace begins to come. And that's why Jeremiah said, pray for the peace. And Paul said, in all circumstances, pray. And Jesus said, pray and keep on praying. Ask and keep on asking. Because the more that you converse with your Heavenly Father, the more that you'll get his heart. And the more that you get his heart, the more peace will begin to rule and reign in your heart. And his heart, his peace will guard your heart. Because when we don't have peace, we're susceptible to anyone and everyone. When there's insecurity inside of us, it just makes us susceptible to everybody's suggestions. And even every change in the circumstance can throw us off. But when we've got the peace of God, then we're like Jesus in the boat in the middle of the storm. We're just at peace because we know God's got us. And I want to tell you today, God's got you. Whatever trouble you're in, whatever fears you face, fears of the future, troubles from what's missing or lacking in your life, all these things, God has supply, sufficient supply for you. And you can rely on him, but it's hard to rely on him when you don't know him. And so God invites us to come to know him. I want to just pray a simple prayer. I always know that in a group like this, you know, there's those of us who know Jesus and there's those who've never entered into that relationship with Jesus, who've never had that come to Jesus moment. And today, this can be your come to Jesus moment. When you start that journey of peace in your life, you come to Jesus. Others of us, we've come to Jesus, but we're not yoked in with him. And we just need to learn better how to be yoked in with Jesus, to be in that place where we feel his moves. The thing about a yoke is it ties you. You can feel every little sway, every little change of direction or shift in pressure of the other ox. And that's the way is when we're yoked in with Jesus, we're tied into his movements and we sense his pace. We sense his direction. So I want to pray for that today. And for those of us who've just been maybe feeling dry, like we haven't heard from Jesus in a long time, I'm going to pray that this would be a moment, this would be a week when you learn from him. So would you bow your heads with me? Let's pray together. Dear Lord Jesus, we come to you today. And Lord, we thank you for your invitation to come to you. We say, Jesus, come into my life, my heart. I want to get into your yoke. I want to invite you and your peace to rule and reign in my heart. May you be the Prince of Peace in my heart. And teach me, Lord God, help me to be in the yoke with you, that, Lord, I would sense your direction. I would sense your movement. I would sense your pace, that I would walk at your pace. I would walk at your direction. Teach me, Lord God, to humble myself. That it's not about my strengths, but it's about your strength. That even in my weakness, Lord God, I'm made strong because I'm in the yoke with you. That you have sufficient strength and wisdom and direction for me as I walk in obedience to you. And Father, I pray that, Lord, for those of us who maybe it's been a long time since we sensed your presence in our life. Maybe we've never sensed it. God, I pray that we would have encounters with you, that we would truly learn from you. We would hear your voice. We would see your face and learn from you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We pray this message spoke to you and built your faith. For more messages like this, visit our website at everynationtaipei.com. You can also send a prayer request and reach out to us anytime. God bless you. Till next time.